All right, we're going to get started here. Good morning. Glad to see everybody here. Glad to hear everybody socializing with one another and catching up. That's what a family does, right? Family does those things, so that's what we are, Christian family. Welcome everyone to our services here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and for those that might be listening in our online radio audience, we appreciate your attendance in presence and your attention online there. Thank you so much. If you have a cell phone, we'd ask that you silence that now. If you must take a call, please exit the auditorium, take that call privately, please. But in the meantime, if you would silence your cell phones, that'd be as a courtesy to the speaker this morning. We have a long prayer list still, as we see, and we've added some more folks on there. Naomi and Dustin are here with us today, so we're thankful for that. Ken and Sandy are with us. Demethia is not with us this morning, but she, you know, obviously has stomach issues. We want to continue to pray for her for that. Demethia did send a card, just says to everyone, thank you. Thank you, everyone who's helped me in any way. Sincerely, Demethia Mahoney. So I know many of you have, the church has helped Demethia, and I know many of you have spent time, effort, and resources to help her, and it's nice to know that's appreciated. I want to continue to pray for a new person that we've been put on the prayer list there. That's Brooklyn's friend, Morgan, who was diagnosed recently with scoliosis. Kevin Shaver, that is Jasmine's father, Jasmine DeMario's father, Blake's father-in-law, who has now been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. I'm going to pray for Brother Shaver. Beth Bowen, that's family of the Cranes, who has breast cancer. We want to pray for Beth that she'll get proper treatment and be able to recover from that. Our sister Dorothy Wall fell last week, and so any update on her, Don? Okay, all right. So the fall, she didn't have any long-term repercussions for that, but she's got some stomach issues this morning. Charles Wall's sister, Jean Henry, she's 93 and she had a stroke. So that's very difficult, of course. And then our shut-ins. We've got a good number of shut-ins there. Rose and Catherine and my mother, Evelyn, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie. They're all homebound, so we want to pray for them, and hopefully some of them are listening, and let them know that we love them. Got some birthdays and anniversaries this week. The Olivers have a 51st wedding anniversary. That's great. So wonderful. Congratulations on that. Clayton and Sharon Williams have their anniversary on the 5th, and Leah Pickering has a birthday coming up, so happy birthday, Leah. Let's see, order of worship today. The evangelism prayer will be by Doug. Song service will be led by James McMillan. David Hutchcraft has our opening prayer. Jamie Poe and Briar Blair will distribute the Lord's Supper at the proper time. Scripture reading by Brother Don DeMario. And the sermon, of course, is by Doug Berry. And then our closing prayer will be by Brother Mike Porter. With no further announcements, let's all enter into worship.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you give us this opportunity to worship you today. And we're thankful that you open the door to many lives and souls through your word and through our giving us this opportunity to reach out to people. We ask that we help us to find open hearts and open souls that we may be able to help them come to you, Father. Help us to be the servants that you need for us to be, to go forth and to tell the good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you for always being there for us and giving us the strength and the determination that we need every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
First song selection this morning is 841. 841, if you're following along in the songbook. The title of that is Sing and Be Happy. If the sky's above your grave, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem gray all the whole day through, there's a silver line that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and seek my friend, trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tried, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then our children can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be thankful, look to him and praise. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth round and past us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust me today, we shall have pleasures untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Our next song selection is 273, I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will find a way for me. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right. be grand to hear him say, well done. If I walk in heaven's light, shall I draw and to the right, won't it be grand to hear him say, well done.
Will you please stand for a prayer?
Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer as always to give thanks for your blessings. The blessings of your Son, that he gives us a light to walk in. Heavenly Father, the health that he gives us that we may live a full life. Heavenly Father, we pray for those throughout the world that are suffering, those in war-torn areas, those that hunger for food, thirst for water. Heavenly Father, we pray for our servicemen that are defending freedom, that you may protect them, that they may return home to their families. Heavenly Father, as we go through this service, we pray that through the week, we'll be able to take our lessons home and spread them throughout the community. Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Alas, it did my Savior bleed, page 12 in our hymnal. We'll sing this in preparation for the Lord's Supper.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereigns die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross, where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am next all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shine in glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw light, then the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time in remembrance of your Son and the sacrifice that he gave us that day, that he went and died on the cross. Father, as we take this bread, it's a reflection of his body. We break the bread because it says that they broke his body, and we just can't imagine what that was like on that day, that he had to carry the cross down that road, and the humiliation and the beatings that he took. And Father, as we take this bread, let's remember his body that he sacrificed for us so that we could have remission of our sins. These things we ask in your name, we pray. Amen.
Let us give thanks for this cup. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this cup that represents Jesus Christ's blood, of which he shed on that cross for sinners like us. Lord God, I pray you bless this cup, and I pray you bless those who take it or partake of it. Lord God, I thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and allow us all to gather here today to partake of this cup and give thanks and praise to you, Lord. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Good job.
Kind of messed up my word.
I concludes the memorial part of the Lord's Supper. Before we take this next part, I want to talk about something we don't talk about a whole lot, and that's money and giving. And a lot of times I don't think the congregation knows everything that we're doing, so I thought I'd take a quick couple of minutes just to give y'all an idea of where some of the money goes that you're giving. This week alone, and there may be more than this, this is just what I was a part of and what I know about, we had two people come and get groceries out of the pantry. We had a lady with four kids that had been subject to domestic violence, and her air conditioner went out, and her and the four kids was absolutely burning up in that mobile home. And we went to Walmart and we bought them a window unit air conditioner and got that family some relief. That's where part of your contribution goes. And I think you need to know that so that you understand that part of this money you're giving is helping. I may be the one, or Doug or David or whoever, that's running to Walmart and doing things, but it's your money that makes it possible. And that's doing the Lord's work, and that's what your money goes to. And as you give, I want you to be conscientious, you know, about your giving. And you know, we're told to be cheerful givers. We're given as we've been prospered. And I want you to think about that. Are we giving all we can give? We've got a budget up here, and if you'll watch that week after week, we're usually a little bit under that. And, you know, if we continually run under that, we're going to have to cut out some of the things that we do in helping people. So just be mindful of that. Make sure we're giving all that we can give. I know we don't like to talk about money and giving, and people say, you go to church, all you do is ask for money. We hardly ever talk about money here. But I do think we need to be conscientious about our giving and what we're giving. And I just wanted you to know that the money you're giving is going to help people. This week it helped a lady with four kids get some relief from the heat. So just know that your money is going to good things and going to the Lord's work. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning, thanking you for all the things that you have blessed us with, Father. All you got to do is just take a short look around, and we can see people that are less fortunate than we are. Father, we're a blessed country, we're blessed people, and we just be mindful of all the things that you have given us and the avenues to provide a living for our families that you have done, Father. Be with those that are less fortunate. Help us seek those people out, and help us be able to help those people in your name. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This time my life remarking your song is 551. 551. It will not be on the overhead. Before our Bible reading and before our lesson of the hour, we will sing 543, redeemed. 543. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Trouble and sorrow have vanished away.
Have vanished away.
Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning will be Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
What? Mm-hmm. You have your Bibles with you today. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 5. And we're going to begin. Our lesson comes from the text of Acts 5, 12 through 42. Now, sometimes we think that it's always a time to proclaim. And in a way it is, always proclaim the gospel. But sometimes there goes in some preparation, some other things happen that we need to be aware of about when it's time to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Now, we're going to see that what God is calling us to do and be as we are his proclaimers. First of all, we want to look at the first verses in 12 through 16, that it's a time for open hearts. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 5. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing the sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Well, the apostles were doing many signs and wonders among the people. Now, it also indicates that many people came to the gospel, but many what was getting their attention was the signs and wonders. Jamie mentioned this morning the idea of that two families came and were helped by the food pantry that we have. In a way, that's what we're doing. We don't heal, do we? We can't heal. But it's our way of helping people to get their attention that we might be able to help them more spiritually. also that family that has helped with an air conditioner as well. So there's things that we can do as his people to do signs and wonders, not miraculously, but in service to God. So we also find that they were doing as they were doing that, even though some were, it says some were reluctant to come to them, but they respected that what they were doing. Now, if you remember, the reason that they were reluctant to do that is Ananias and his that his wife Sapphira, they came and they were not doing what was right. They were giving money only partially of what they said. They were lying to God, basically, is what happened. And they were struck down because of it. And the people were afraid of them. But even though, so what they started, the apostles started doing, was doing these signs and wonders among the people. I pushed the wrong button. Multitudes, it said, were being added to the church and added to Christ. Now, they must have done some preaching, right? Or else the multitudes wouldn't have been added to the church. And so right now we also see among the good deeds that they were doing, they weren't doing just good deeds. They were teaching the message of God. And multitudes, both men and women, were coming to God. And I think that's important for us to understand that the people were coming to God because of what was being done for them. This last week we received a card from a family thanking us for the cards that we sent to them for prayers. It said, thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers. It came at the right time. We appreciate it so much. You see, people appreciate when we do things for them, and Lord willing, the things that we are doing initially in our ministry are going to help people to come to the message to hear God. And it said many were coming from other cities as well. One of the things that struck me here, it said that, two things actually. First of all, it said they wanted even the shadow of Peter to fall upon them. Now, right then, you don't think, well, that doesn't say that they were healed, but the last part of verse 16 says, and they were all healed. They were all healed that were brought to him. So God was working miraculously among these people so that all could hear the good news and the message of God. Well, it wasn't just a time. I mean, it looked like things are going really, really great, right? Let's read verses 17 and 18. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid the hands on the apostles and brought them in the and put them in the common prison. Well, now this doesn't sound so good, right? It doesn't sound like things were happening, that what they were doing was cut off. They could heal no more people because they were in prison, right? They could teach no more because they were in prison. It sounds like a bad thing. Does anything ever bad happen when we're trying to preach the good news of Jesus Christ? It does. There's lots of things that the devil tries to discourage us, discourage other people from listening and hearing the good news about God. Sometimes it seems like it's all shut off. If you're put in prison, don't you think that's going to think, that's the end of that, right? That's the end of that. Well, let's look and see what we're talking about here. The high priest and his associates were jealous of them. They were jealous of what they were saying. They were jealous of what they were doing. They were angry about it. And they rose up against them. They rose up against them. That doesn't mean, like we did a little bit ago, stand and sing. No, they opposed them strongly and put the apostles in public jail. Not a good solution as far as the church was concerned, don't you imagine? They probably thought this was a really bad thing. Well, therefore, it was a time of courage as well. Let's read verses 19 through the first part of verse 21. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people and all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. Let's stop right there for a moment. Well, first of all, at night, God had a solution. God had a solution. He sent an angel and opened the prison doors and sent them out and told them what they must do. He said, commanded them to go and preach in the temple. So at night, probably the middle of the night was not where you wanted to start with this, but they went home. And the next morning, they did just exactly like, they preached the message of the, let me try that again, the whole message of this life, the message of what it meant to become a Christian, what it meant to follow Jesus Christ. And they, the apostles now, this is who we're talking about. It was the apostles who were doing the miracles. It was the apostles who were arrested and put in jail. It was the apostles who were free to go back out and do this again. So the leadership of the church was the ones that was taking this stand and going forth and telling people about Jesus Christ. What would you thought if you had been an apostle at this point in time? You'd seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles. You know that Jesus had been raised from the dead, right? You believed. And so when an angel of the Lord came to them, they didn't say, "Who are you? Why are you doing this?" No, they just did what he said to do. God has given us commands and a purpose and a call to be what he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do. He calls us. We should not question God when we read in the Word of God when he says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everyone. Preach to everyone. It doesn't matter where they're at. It doesn't matter what they became. I remember one time when I was working a group of young people that I had told them to go out and bring their friends in with them. And they said, "Well, some of our friends, they're not very good people. They won't listen to us. They won't come." But you know what? Some of them did. And you know what? Some of them became Christians. We didn't believe that they could. We believed that they would. But God can work and do marvelous things in our world today. And can you imagine what it was like to be able to go out the next morning and preach the message, the whole message of the truth of God? They started teaching at first light. Well, if it was in the summertime, that was probably pretty early, right? Probably pretty early that they went out. Even if it was in the wintertime, it would have been maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. Pretty good time to start preaching, don't you think? Well, they preached and did what God had called them to do. But as far as the Sadducees and the rulers of the Jews was concerned, it was a time of confusion. Let's pick this up about halfway through the verse 21. But the high priest and those who were with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison doors shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came to and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. The apostles were not in jail. Was there any reason why the Sadducees and the council would think that they wouldn't be in jail? But when they found out that they were not in jail, the doors were shut, the guards were in place, but the apostles were not there. Now I think back to the time of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in Nazareth and he told the people that he was the Son of God, basically, and they said, "He's blaspheming." They took him out to the edge of a cliff, to throw him off the cliff. What does it say Jesus did? He turned and walked through the people to freedom. Can you imagine? There's a whole crowd pressing around Jesus Christ, getting ready to push him off this cliff. And all of a sudden, Jesus just turned and walked through them. I wonder what they thought, right? What did they think? Where did he go? Did they see him leave? Did they see him go but just could not do anything? Well, whatever, this is kind of like that to me, in that the soldiers were in place, the gates were shut, but God's work and will was being done among the people. God can do marvelous and wonderful things when we're ready to do things with him. The prison was locked and the guards were there, and the governing authorities, the Sadducees and the council, were perplexed. They were confused. How could this be? Where are they? Where could they have gone? But the report came that they were preaching and teaching in the temple courts. Can you imagine? They'd been put in jail because they were doing this, and now they're right back out there doing it again. The guard brought them back without violence. They said they were afraid that they could be stoned because of the people that were listening to this message of Jesus Christ. What are we doing? What are we doing as far as the message of Jesus Christ is concerned? Are we out boldly preaching the message we're called to? Are we going out to proclaim no matter what was going on? Let's stand for God. Stand for what he wants for us. Well, there was, therefore, a time of boldness now. They have been brought back. They have been brought before the council. Let's pick this up in verse 27. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name and to look for it? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The high priest questioned them again. Questioned them, what are you doing, right? We told you not to preach this message. We told you to be silent. Now, I'm thankful that our government does not say you can't do this. But you know that there are governments that are doing this across the world today, saying you cannot do this. In China, they arrest people for following anything but the Chinese Bible, if you will, which is very watered down, I understand. What about in Russia? Russia used to be a free country as far as the gospel is concerned. Now you cannot preach the gospel outside of your building. They're not shutting churches down in Russia yet, but they will not let you preach the gospel at all outside of your building. And of course, we know that in many other countries, it's far worse than that. People are put to death for being Christians. Well, here he tells them, we commanded you not to do this, but you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings. Now, I look for this day, don't you? When Harrisburg will be filled with the teachings of the good news of Jesus Christ. We're trying. That's what we're going for, right? That's what we're working on. Not there yet, but we're working on it. Let us fill the city with the good news of Jesus Christ. We must obey God rather than men. Now, we need to remember this, because today in our world, the government and the people in it and so many say, you shouldn't talk about this or you shouldn't talk about that. We need to teach what the Bible teaches, to speak where the Bible speaks, and to be silent where the Bible is silent. We need to carry out the message of God. And we may not listen to men, but we need to listen to God and what he tells us to do and he tells us to be. Jesus is the Savior that God raised up. He said, you murdered him. That's what he said directly. You murdered him. This Prince and Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to forgive us of our sins, and you did this. Wow, what an accusation, right? What a charge that was laid against them. And it's true. It's true. And in a way, we can say to the world today that if you sin and fall short of the glory of God and will not turn to him, your sins put him on the cross. Our sins put him on the cross. And he forgave us when we turned to him and came to him. We're obedient to him. We're baptized into him. Then we can know that our sins have been made free. But we need to know that, stand up for Jesus as the Savior of the world. They said, we are witnesses to these things. We saw it happen. Now, today we have not seen it happen, have we? We not saw Jesus on the cross, but we have witnessed it through the Word of God. We have seen the message through the Word of God and what it is and does for us. Therefore, it became a time to consider, verses 33 through 39. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in the respect of all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. The council was angry, and wanted to kill the apostles. They wanted to do it. They were ready to kill them, just as they had killed Jesus, maybe. But Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, well respected amongst the people, says, what if this is God's will? Other people came and went, but what if this is God's will? These people are not being scattered. They're out teaching and proclaiming this message. You know, I've wondered, because the day of Bible class, we also studied in Acts chapter 22, much later than this, that Gamaliel is mentioned again. Gamaliel said, maybe this is from God. I wondered. We don't know. We haven't known anything more about Gamaliel. Did Gamaliel become a Christian? Did he hear? We know that many thousands, were told, of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Jews, became Christians. I wondered if Gamaliel was one of them. Because if he was open to this, maybe he would be. There are people today that know about Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They want to follow Jesus, but they're not taught the whole truth of the Word of God. There's people out there waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. What if this is God's will? He says, you do not want to fight against God. I say amen to that, right? Do you want to fight against God? I would say no. I would say no. I hope you do too. I don't want to fight against God. I want to fight with God. If God is for me, what? Who can be against me? I want to be with him. I know you do too. Well, therefore, there's a time to rejoice and proclaim. Let's read verses 40 through 42. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should be not, that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The council had them flogged or beaten. Now you remember about Jesus being beaten, right? How he was beaten. We know that the Apostle Paul would later be beaten several times. One, they said 39 lashes, right? Minus one. The reason the minus one, they said 39 is okay, but 40 will kill him. We don't know how many they took, but I tell you what, if they took one lash, I think not one of us would want to take that one lash. They beat them. When they beat them, they bled. They hurt. They tore apart their backs. These men were flogged by these men. They ordered them not to preach in the name of Jesus. They ordered them before not to preach in the name of Jesus. They put them in prison because they preached the name of Jesus. And again, they ordered them not to preach in the name of Jesus. The apostles rejoiced that they had been willing or been considered worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. Why would you do that? Because Jesus Christ had suffered for them, and now they had suffered for him. They considered themselves, they were thankful that they were considered worthy to go through this for him. Every day then, they did not stop. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They did not stop. They could not keep them quiet. They could not muzzle them. They went forth and did what God had commanded them to do. We should proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ when it's popular. There's times now that people are willing to listen. We need to preach it. We should proclaim the gospel when we are opposed. When people say, why are you doing this? Why do you keep doing these things? Keep on keeping on. We must obey God rather than man. That's our call, to do what God calls us to do, not what man says we cannot do. We need to proclaim everywhere, all the time, the good news about Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ? Are you ready to stand up for him? Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
mercy, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with him earnestly, plead with him gently. He will forgive if they truly believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like burden that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, worketh my kindness. Cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win him. Tell the poor wanderer the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
I don't want to remind everyone that our potluck dinner is going to be 1 week later this week, this month, because we're going to have a gospel meeting. And I saw a smiling face out there, remembered her birthday coming up, and I wanted to let you know, so she did not miss it, right? So we all did not miss it. It'll be the fourth Sunday of the month, because we're having a guest speaker come in, Keno Smith, on Saturday and Sunday, the 22nd and 23rd. Want to mark that on your calendars, mark that in your everything that we're doing, that Keno is going to come and help us talk more about what we're doing about evangelism. I think you'll really enjoy getting to know this man. I've had a chance to talk to him several times. So remember, it's the last or the fourth Sunday of the month, not the third.
One more thing. The men need to meet for a couple minutes after services over here in the room to my left, if you don't mind. Don?
Yeah, I want to update you on Charles' sister has passed. She passed the day after she had her stroke. So, please keep them in your prayers. We don't know anything about the visitation or anything yet, but we're going to try to get Charles down.
Where did she live? What town?
Fulton, Tennessee.
Okay. I knew Charles was from that area in Tennessee, but I didn't.
She's out in Oklahoma right now with her daughter.
Okay.
They're bringing her back this way.
Well, let's keep Charles and the family in our prayers as we go through our week, and do our prayers daily for all those that need help. Is there anything else that needs to be mentioned? If not,
sign up sheet for
We still have room on that sign-up sheet for Sasquatch Day that's here in Harrisburg that we're going to try to attend. So there are still blanks left, so there's still time to get your name on there. So please sign up for that. Thank you, Brent. We'll be dismissed with a prayer.
Let's go to our Lord. Most righteous and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our services today. Thank you for letting everyone attend. Thank you for watching over all those that are homebound and all those in your need. There are so many people that need you in this world, dear Lord. Right now there's people in Iran that are Christians that are being persecuted for being Christians. There's people all over the world that are being persecuted for that. And we're so lucky that we don't have to put up with that kind of stuff here. We can worship you openly and love your son Jesus openly. You know, it's such a great gift to be in such a free country. We want you to look over those people in those foreign countries that are being persecuted. You know, they love you the same as we do. They expect the same treatment as we do. You know, your son sacrificed himself on a cross for us. So it's just so great to be loved by Jesus. We want to thank your son, Jesus, for everything he's done. Thank you for the love you give us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.